This morning, I want to speak to us on the value of admonition. I told my husband my message really wasn't a Mother's Day message, but you know how you can get a picture and then you can slide a transparency over it and it'll give you just a little bit of a tint onto the picture? As the way you could do the message this morning, I have some Bible instruction for us, an awareness to pass on to us, which I feel like is going to be healthy for us. And if you just slid the transparency of looking at it in the light of our mothers, it would give a little bit different dimension and be valuable to us as well. But I want you to turn with me to Romans, and let's see what we can find in the scriptures here. Romans chapter 15 and verse 14. Paul speaking to the Roman church, the Roman Christians. To all that be in Rome. So, the Christians that had been probably scattered by the persecution, and they were in the Rome, Italy church, he wrote this to them when he was in Corinth about AD 56 or 57, the winter he spent in Corinth. He wrote to the church at Rome. And this last few chapters in Romans were mostly instructions as to how to go about and live the Christian life, just daily life instructions and church ministry and how to live in cooperatively with one another. And this one really is an important verse, and it's something that we kind of skip over. But I remember in my youth hearing a message on this verse, and it impacted me very greatly. I felt that the Lord reminded me of it this week, so I wanted to see what we can find in this verse. He said, "I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another." The burden that I have this morning is how important it is for us to be able to admonish one another, and also for us to be able to be admonished. We as people, we feel like we can do pretty good on our own. But the truth is that God, his real plan was to put us into a place of family, spiritual family, where we would have those that that love us and that watch after us, and we do the same for others. And in that relationship that he's put us in a congregation, in his church, we have this special place that we fill for one another. And it's a good, healthy thing. He said, "I know and I'm persuaded that you are full of goodness, filled with knowledge, able also to admonish one another." I've thought of how the first two are important, how that our hearts toward one another need to be totally innocent and free from all guile, deceit. Our hearts toward one another should be honest. Our hearts toward one another should be humble, recognizing the good and the value of each other in the congregation. And full of goodness. I want to be a help. How can I serve you? How can I benefit you? How can I pray for you? I hope this morning that each of us in here prays for the others in the congregation. Pray for the children, pray for the young people, pray for the older ones, pray for those that are in in particular needs. Let our hearts be not just mention each other, but have a heart full of goodness for one another. Lord, what can I do to help? How can I pray? How can I bear the burden for this one? And that to me has to be in the heart before I can admonish someone else. And we'll get to the meaning of admonish, but these are the first things. Full of goodness. Have a heart full of goodness for every other person. There are ways that people can be toward other people in a congregation where their heart is just not full of goodness for that person. You can be irritated with other people. You could let people just grind on you, and you begin to meditate on their ways that bother you, and your heart ceases to be filled with goodness. And usually it's at that time that the enemy prompts us to admonish one another. And we do so from a heart that's not full of goodness, but it's full of irritation or full of pride. Many times self-righteousness causes us to be prideful, and it's at that time that we feel minded to admonish someone. But here, the healthy state of a congregation is for everyone's hearts to be full of goodness toward one another. And then he said, filled with all knowledge. I believe that that's very important too. That I know God's will. That I know God's ways. That I know how he has dealt with me. And I understand the burdens and needs of this other person. Before I'm ever called to admonish someone, don't I need to have an understanding of that one? Shouldn't I be filled with knowledge? You ever walk into a room and think you know what the conversation is and give your mind about it just to find out that you were really half informed or maybe not informed at all and you just made a fool of yourself? I've done that before. And you have to go, oops. Oh, sorry, guys. I didn't know what y'all were talking. Just scratch that, what I just said. And it's just really hard to undo at that point, but we've all been there. But he said, before you admonish, you need to be filled with knowledge about the situation, of understanding about the person, understanding how God would deal with the person. I've thought lately a lot about, now Jesus, if you were here and you had this person to dinner, how would you deal toward them? What would you say? How would you act? And I've been trying to fill my mind with that. Lord, would you be all stern? Would you always be in disapproval? Would you be gentle? Would you be tender? What would you say first? Would you feel like that you had to say something in the visit that would let them know how bad they were? You know, I'm thinking, Lord, what would your mind be? That's sometimes going to take us some time to understand. But he said here, I know that you're able, you're full of goodness, you're filled with knowledge, able also to admonish one another. How important it is to get the other two in place first. And then we can move on to this one. To admonish means to put in mind. It means to place in someone's mind. Maybe a thought that that person never thought of before. Many times we look at other people and we think, they just know better. And so I'm going to go and tell them. Because they know better. You know, to admonish, if I'm to admonish someone and I'm going to put something in their mind, ought I not to study about how best to do that? How can I do this in a way that I'll put it in their mind all right? I'll place it in their mind so captivatingly, so convincingly, that it can make a real difference. And my heart is full of goodness. My mind is understanding of their situation. So I'm going to put something in their mind. Isn't that better than just the thought of, well, I'm just going to tell them. I think they need to know. No, I'm going to put something in their mind. We talked a little bit, or Dan talked a little bit ago about the song. That's how God deals with us. He puts His law in our mind. How does He do that? Does He take a hammer and drive it down like a nail into our minds? No. I've been studying how the Lord dealt with the seven churches of Asia in the book of Revelation. His tone is so tender. He dealt with them so wisely. And they had grievous faults, five of the churches. Two of them had nothing wherewith He could commend them. Two of them he had nothing but praise for and some gentle warnings. But three of them were, you would think, they're just past gone. But when you look into it, when you study into it, how He dealt with them was so gentle. It was so open. And that's what we want to do with each other. Admonishing one another means to place in the mind, to warn, to caution or reprove gently. I'm glad for that mild and gentle word that He has here for us to do. And again, I said at the beginning, if you'll just now think about motherhood and the place that mothers are in our play in our lives, you think about this word admonish. Think about the admonishments of our mothers. Can you think of some things that your mother has said over and over until it's like it's in your mind? It's printed in your mind. Or just ways that she had. And my daughter has told me this. She said, "Mommy, here's what I did today." And I thought, I'm my mother. She said, "I do this because you taught me to do this." And I said, "I know, because I do the same thing. My mother always fixed this dish with this dish. And so I do it, and I've never questioned that's the way my mother did that. Or she cleaned it this way." My mother has and had a distrust of mops that you ran like this. She didn't think they got things clean. So she always got down on the floor and mopped her floor on her hands and knees. My sister does it that way, and I do it that way, and my daughter does it that way. And it's no fault of anybody else, but whenever I see a big old rag mop, I think that thing doesn't get things clean. But I'm sure that other mothers who always used a mop and their daughters use mops, they feel like they get that floor clean. It's just, you know, the admonitions that we were given, they remain in our minds. And that's one thing that I read in studying was where the mother in Proverbs 31, it says in her tongue is the law of kindness. A mother that's a wise mother instills, that is that word again, you put it in, puts into the heart and into the mind the words of instruction. Along that line, I want to turn over here to Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 8 and give this as a little admonition to those younger ones that we have here today. He says in verse 7, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Reverencing and standing in awe of God just takes you way down the road for true wisdom and knowledge in your life." Because when you have that knowledge, that awe and reverence toward God, your ears will perk up when He speaks to you. You will be mindful of His ways and His commandments. And that takes you so far down the road of being really wise in your life. But it says, "But fools despise wisdom and instruction." Many people are playing the fool today. I think about people that begin the life of drugs. When they first begin, it's a foolish thing to do, and many of them know it. and how that they might would take a word of advice at that time and cast it away. But you know, the admonition and the warning, it still proves true in their lives. Just because they cast it away doesn't mean that they live without the consequences. And that's really sad. A dentist was telling Dan this week about how many young people that he treats in his office whose teeth and mouth parts are being eaten away by meth in this town. And he said that the upper part of one young lady's mouth, the palate, the top of her mouth, is gone. She's just a young woman. She has her whole life ahead of her, and she's destroyed her teeth and her mouth. He said, most of these young people, he said, I have to rip the teeth, all of them out. And they're just in their young teens and 20s, early 20s. Just think about the despising of instruction and what it does for us. The kind of heart we should have toward admonition, toward gentle instructions from God's word or from one another, from our mothers, from our grandmothers, from our fathers, from our grandfathers. Words of instruction that if we would be mindful of those things, we would be so far down the road. We would, the destruction would not, it would not come into our lives if we would take the law. It says, my son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. This word law, it's actually the word in the Bible for Torah, the Hebrew whole system or body of instructions from God. So what this is saying, don't forsake the Torah that your mother gives you, or her whole body of teachings that she's taught you. Think about manners. A mother is, she's the one that instills the manners, really. Well, the father does too, but the mother is there at home every day. She sees you brush your teeth. She sees you eat your food. She sees you shut the door. She's the one who talks to you about wiping your feet, about being mindful of where you put your dirty hands. Go change your clothes before you sit down on the couch. That kind of thing. She's the whole body of instructions. Then you have how to get along with others. Think about what you say before you say it, because what you say affects someone else. How many times have we heard that from our mothers? Or take a turn. If you give them a long turn, they might give you a long turn. That kind of thing. How to get along with others. Think about the body of teaching that my mother gave me. The whole of it has been priceless. So many things. Working hard. Being honest. Being humble. Thinking of others. The value of prayer. The value of reading God's word. All of those things. He said here, don't forsake. Don't forsake it. Thinking also about admonition, let's look at another one in the scripture. Just give me a minute here. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, we have the same word, but it's the word warn. The same word for admonition in Romans 15 is here, and it's the word warn. 1 Corinthians 4 and 14. Paul writing to the Corinthians, he says, I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you. To remember, our definition was to put in mind, to give caution, to warn. How is it that we said? To reprove gently. He said, as my beloved sons, I warn you. If only we would remember this about admonition. When we want to give admonition to someone else, do we do it as to a beloved son? I think these verses give us the requirements, the what should be in our hearts and minds when we give admonition to somebody else. They should be like a beloved child to us. How would you give admonition to a beloved child? It'd be different to someone else, wouldn't it? If we always gave one another admonition as to a beloved child. I had admonitions given to me as a young person. I can think of several. They weren't given by my mother or my father. They were given by other people who were concerned about me as if I were their own beloved child. And so they gave those admonitions to me. I remember as a little girl saying my verse. I would get up and say my verse, and I would be like this. And I had an admonition given to me by a dear lady whose birthday I shared. Every year, I gave her a birthday card or gift, and she gave me one. And she was an older lady, and I loved her dearly. I admired her. She was so sweet to me. And so one day she said, Angela, if you would stand still when you say your verse, we could understand you. I know you have a good verse, but I can't get it because you're just wiggling all over. And so I took that admonition. I was probably 6 or 7. And I began making myself stand still. I don't know if she knows. Maybe I did start preaching before she died. It seems like I did, and we talked about it, that she said, now see, I helped you in your whole career. Something like that. I remember having a conversation with her. What's some of the other, can you think of admonitions that have meant a lot to you in your life? I remember my grandmother's admonition. She said, no matter how much or little you make, you can always set a little aside. Don't spend everything you make. She said, when your grandpa and I were married, he made $1 a day. And she said, we set a few pennies aside every week. That's amazing to think about, isn't it? $1 a day. There are other admonitions that I've been given in my life that have meant so much to me. The value of admonition. Maybe we've never stopped to think about it, but just think about the different warning signs spiritually that have been put up for you in your life. It caused you to think. It put things into your mind that you might not ever consider. There's some of them that I could never detail to you or explain to you, but they influenced me in the route that I took in my life. Then there's the thought in Colossians chapter 3, I believe it's verse 16. And this was interesting to me as I considered what it's really saying. He said in verse 15, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Now here again, you have preparation for what you're going to do. If you have Jesus' word dwelling in you richly, blessing you, causing you to abound and to grow, and giving you wisdom, won't the words and the admonitions that you give be good? That's what he's saying here. You let your mind be full. Remember the verse in Romans said, full of goodness and full of knowledge. Again here he says, let the word of Christ dwell in you to the full, richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. And here he says, in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. What a beautiful picture of admonition that we come together and we sing. We sing praises to God, but we also sing songs like, "Oh, brother, will you bear the cross for Jesus everywhere?" Or we sing, "Let not your weary heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe in me." Or we sing, "Take the shield of faith, my brother." What are we doing when we sing these songs? We're admonishing one another. Can you think of a better or more gentle way than to sit in a service with each other and sing songs? And in those songs is encouragement and caution and warning. What if the Master should come tonight? Would you be ready to go? Those are all these different songs that we sing. It's right here in this scripture why we do that. We're teaching and admonishing one another in psalms. Now, a psalm is praises. A hymn is prayers. Praises, prayers. Spiritual songs would be songs that have good for the soul. They're of the spirit. They're not fleshly. You know, there are some religious songs that are still of a fleshly content. Either the way that they're played or sang, they still appeal to the flesh, but there's very little to the spirit. He wants us to concentrate. Let our singing be concentrated on these songs that are praises or prayers or spiritual good, spiritual instruction, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Now I want to slide this little transparency over this and think about this in reference to our mothers. Maybe you don't have this. Maybe your mother didn't sing, but a lot of times mothers do sing to their children. Aren't there things that you've learned from your mother through the songs that she sang to you? Me, very much so. My mother, when we lived in a certain house there in Guthrie, we children slept upstairs. Mama and Daddy slept downstairs. And when she would come and wake us up for school every morning, she came singing up the stairs. She did. And she would come into our room and she would pull up the shade and she'd sing, "So let the sun shine in. Face it with a grin. Smilers never lose, and frowners never win. So let the sun shine in. Face it with a grin. Open up your heart and let the sun shine in." That was admonishment from my mother. But how gentle, how sweet, how captivating to the heart. That's influenced me my whole life. Smilers never lose and frowners never win. She could have hammered that in with a grim face, but it never would have done what the song has done. Another song she sang was about a child of a different race who was treated poorly by the other children. That influenced me so much, I would cry, and she would cry every time she sang it to me. And it would make me cry. And what do you think? It taught me to treat others of different colors of skin with much love and respect. It was a song that did it. She did not just sit down and say, "All right, you need to include everybody." Even no, she just taught me a song. The value of admonition. The thought of putting something in someone's mind. How can we do it best? We do it by being filled with goodness. We do it by being filled with understanding of that person. How is that going to come? By praying, seeking the Lord. "Lord, fill my heart with love. Lord, fill my heart with understanding for this person and the situation that they're in. Help me if I speak to them that harsh and cruel words don't spill out." I think of people who have been wounded and made sad by things that people in their congregation have said to them. It's just, words can be so cruel. My dad taught me the poem that has the part in it that says, "Boys flying kites haul in their white-winged birds, but you can't do that when you're flying words. Careful with fire is good advice, I know. Careful with words is 10 times doubly so. Thoughts unexpressed often fall back dead, but even God himself can't kill words once they're said." Oh, what an admonition that was taught to me by my father about making sure the things that you say will heal and not hurt. Now, as an aside to that, can you bring me my phone? I want to get something off of there. I read something that someone wrote just recently, and it really impressed me, because I want to go to this part now. If we have a little message on admonition and how to give it, then we ought to mention also, how well do you receive admonition? If you're on the receiving end of someone coming to you and saying, "I want to put something in your mind. Maybe you've never thought of this." Like the lady who told me, "Angela, if you'll stand still, we can hear you." I had never thought of, I just knew that I was nervous. I just knew that it was intensely difficult for me to get up and say my verse. First time I ever testified, I got up and said, "I thank God I'm saved." Sat right back down. I was too shy to do anything else, believe it or not. But I want to just... Here's something that I read, and I want to just share it with you. Have you ever had your feelings hurt by someone who spoke too plainly? Maybe you asked for their advice, or perhaps they just volunteered it. Either way, you were offended by what they said. When this happens, our human nature often seeks to discredit the message or the messenger, particularly when it comes to spiritual matters. But God puts people in our lives to help us maintain a proper perspective. We all have blind spots and cannot see ourselves objectively. Now, amen. That's true. We do have blind spots. How it is important that we live in love to one another, because you just might help me in a blind spot. If you, in love for my soul and a heart full of goodness, would come to me and say, "Sister Angela, this is how it comes across to me, and I want to just ask you or talk to you about it," I would love it. I'm saying that's valuable to me. If you ever want to do that, I know some of you have. Some of you have said, "I want to talk to you about this because I think you need to do better here." And it's helped me. I appreciated it very much. Thank you. And so he says, God uses the eyes of others to help us see who we really are and how we really are. Just because we identify ourselves in a certain way does not mean that our self-assessment is accurate. I want to read that one again. Just because we identify ourselves in a certain way does not mean that our self-assessment is accurate. There may be times when we are shocked to discover our true spiritual identity. We thought ourselves to be a certain way, but find that the opposite is true. Spiritual decline can be subtle. The grace of God slowly dissipates, and there is little to no effort made to strengthen and replenish it. What was once alive and thriving becomes dead and empty. Is there anything that God has put in his body to help curb that, to help corral that? Yes. And that's the loving hearts of our church family who come and say, "Are you okay? I have noticed that you are very quiet lately, and you used to have some things to say, and I miss that, and how can I help you?" I'm just throwing out, you know, scenarios here. But maybe it would help somebody. There have been times that somebody has said that to another person and was just, All of a sudden, the other person's tide broke and it came spilling out. Well, here's what's bothering me. And I'm so glad you asked me, and I'm so glad somebody cares, because I haven't known how to ask for help. The Lord put all this in His body. He put us together to love one another and to care for one another and to admonish one another. You can admonish this one, and there may be times where this one will need to admonish you. But remember what we said this morning. It means to put something in someone's mind. How do we do that? We do it with a heart full of goodness and love. God sees us for what we are, but no matter where we are in the spiritual spectrum, it is not God's desire to leave us there. That's very important. It is His will to draw us ever closer to Him. And for that to happen, we too must know where we stand. So in His faithfulness, He speaks plainly through His word and through His people. Brutal honesty can be painful, but it is also practical and at times necessary. It may offend initially, but if we embrace its truth, we are better off for doing so. When someone who loves us tells us the truth about ourselves, may God help us to take heed. What a very valuable instruction that was. I'm thankful this morning for the pattern that I see in God's word of how He gives us faithful instruction when we need it, and how many of us can also be a vessel for that for one another. And I'm thankful for the admonition, the body of laws that was passed down to me from my mother and my grandmothers on this Mother's Day. Amen.